Hi, everyone. Before everything gets started, I just wanted to say a few things. The music that you'll hear today is a selection of songs that Simon and I have put together that Mum particularly liked. She had a massive taste in music, very varied, so we hope you enjoy them as much as she did. First of all, Megan's going to come up and light a candle for her nanny. So when the candle burns, the candle burns as a symbol of love and the memories of my mum, Janet, that are ours to keep forever. Even though she's no longer here, it symbolises the ongoing connection that all of us have with her. Standing here today and seeing all of you is just so amazing. It's a part, a little piece of her life, every one of you. So it's so lovely, thank you. So, may the glow of this flame throughout this service be our reminder that Mum's spirit continues to shine. And to my mum, I love you, and Simon and I miss you more than you could ever imagine. Thank you, everyone.
As Louise has just said so well, and it's so difficult, I know, I've been there. It's very brave to speak at all. But we are gathered here today, not just here in the building, but on Zoom, and for those who will be listening later on the audio, in the presence of God, to remember the life of Janet, who was daughter and sister and mum and nan and auntie, godmother and mother-in-law, and to many here, including myself, friend. We come because it's been a privilege to know her and to remember how she touched each of our lives. This is where Janet wanted her celebration to be. She wanted all of those of us who loved her to be in this place together and to celebrate her life. And so first of all, we'll have a hymn of comfort and confidence in Lord's care. The Lord's my shepherd.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of all things, we thank you for the precious gift of life that you have given to each one of us. We thank you for those who have brought love and joy into our lives. And we pray for your spirit of comfort in our loss, as we find it hard to be parted from those that you have given us. We thank you for Janet and for the memories we have of her. We thank you for the privilege of knowing her and for the person she lived to become through your grace. Heavenly Father, you love us with a love which is everlasting. And we thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you bring hope to us as we work through our feelings of loss and separation. We ask that you would hold us safe in the palm of your hand, secure in your everlasting arms, where we find assurance and the sure hope of eternal life that is to be found in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Let's join together and say the Lord's Prayer, which is on your order of service. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So I'll ask Simon if you'll come up and share some memories. Thank you.
Hi everyone. I'll start by saying Louise and I would like to give you all a warm thank you to everyone who's joined us both in person and online to celebrate the life of our beloved mum, Janet. No one would have been more surprised and touched by the love that has been shown for her over the past few months than her. This is not going to be easy, so I've got these with me, and I hope you'll give me a bit of support. Okay, I'll start at the beginning. Our mum was born, Janet Ball, on the 18th of December 1940 at the Mother and Baby Hospital in Barnet. This was actually on the very same day that Adolf Hitler issued Führer Directive 21, which ordered the invasion of the Soviet Union. Whilst elsewhere, the Marx Brothers comedy Go West hit the cinemas, which was rather apt, as mum did eventually go west. Mum's earliest memories included sheltering with her mum, our wonderful Nan, in Tooting Underground Station whilst the bombs rained down around them. It was also around this time that mum and her older sister Jean welcomed the birth of their baby brother Michael. Mum adored Michael from the moment she set eyes on him. Because mum suffered from asthma as a child, she was sent to Fairfield House Open Air School in Broadstairs. This is so she could benefit from the curative effects of the sea air. However, not wanting to be separated from her young daughter for too long, our Nan relocated the family from Sutton to St. Paul's Cray near Sidcup. This meant they could all hop on the Chatham main line to the Isle of Thanet to see their little girl. Approaching her teens, Mum won a scholarship to a grammar school in Sidcup, where, she said, she didn't do any work. And in 1957, at age 16, she started her working life at the Sports News Agency on Fleet Street, where her first manager was future BBC sports commentator Brian Moore. It was in 1960, whilst working off Villiers Street by Charing Cross, that Mum met her close friend Sybil. And a couple of years later, whilst working in Berkeley Square, she met her lifelong friend Jenny. By the early 60s, Mum and the family were living in Blackheath, but by 1966, Mum had decided that she'd had enough of swinging London and set sail from Liverpool on the Empress of England to Montreal, Canada. Her plan was to stay in Toronto for a year, but instead she ended up staying for 7. It's safe to say that Mum had the time of her life during those 7 years. She loved Canada and made many friends there, including Janet, who's joined us online today. And she's travelled all over North America, including New York, Niagara Falls, San Francisco, and Mexico City. Later in life, she often talked about going back there one day, but sadly, that was not to be. In 1973, she returned to the UK to become a mum, and she gave birth to me in May of that year. For the first few years of my life, we lived with my nan whilst mum went out to work. In the mid-1970s, we relocated from Nan's to the High Wycombe area, and mum has lived here in this area ever since. In 1976, my sister Louise was born. Now, mum had always said that she wanted a boy followed by a girl, so her wish had come true. From the early 80s onwards, after our dad left, mum was the centre of our world. She took on the role of both parents and was always there for me and Louise, as well as the parade of cats that shared our home with us. By 2005, both Louise and I had left home, and the following year, mum moved to Hanover Court, round the corner. Not long after that, mum's beloved grandchild, Megan, was born, and mum quickly settled into the role of doting nan, often looking after Meg whilst mummy Louise was at work, fulfilling Meg's demands to build the best indoor blanket camp ever. Okay, I'd like to pause for a second and talk about our, as in Louise and my, relationship with our mum. Everyone's relationship with their parents is deeply personal, and our story is no different. When our dad left, Louise was 3 and I was 7, and for many years it was just the 3 of us. We had more than our fair share of tough times, and mum did her very best to juggle our family life while struggling with her mental health. These experiences could have damaged our relationship with each other, but each challenge seemed to pull us closer together. Our relationship with our mum was at times intense, yet she made so many sacrifices to ensure that we had as normal a home life as possible. Even in her darkest days, her children came first. Often she would spend her very last penny on us without our knowledge, just so she could ensure we had a trip to the cinema, a place on a school trip, or a new pair of school shoes. She worked for 19 years at Bucks County Council as a social worker's assistant, often walking over 5 miles each day to work and back. I remember her shoes occasionally having holes in them. Yet she always made sure we were well presented, that we had good manners, and that we were well educated, and we respected the boundaries that she had set out. We were always able to be open with her, with mum, and discuss anything as we were growing up. Megan also has a few stories about mum, like when mum took her on a bus to town and the driver was listening to music and swerving all over the place. Mum gave him a stern talking to, saying that if he didn't drive carefully, they would have to get off. This showed her willingness to speak up when she felt something wasn't right. And while our mum wasn't one for saying, "I love you" every day, we absolutely knew we were very much adored by her. We had an incredible bond. And this was never more so than in her final weeks, when we were always by her side, guiding her and reassuring her in her final days. Finally, I would like to say how much mum loved her little flat at Hanover Court, just around the corner, which was her happy home for the past 18 years. She loved being part of the community there, making many good friends, some of whom are here today. Mum's happiness continued when she made friends with Louise and I and my respective partners. In fact, there were many times over the past 8 years where Louise and I would be trying and often failing to get hold of mum, only to find that she was speaking to Nina and Justin instead. Although we will miss her wit and humour, her making of little lists, her thoughtfulness, and even her bluntness and stubbornness, We can be safe in the knowledge that in her final years, she was more content than she'd ever been. She was so happy that our little group of three had grown into a warm and loving family. Thank you, Mum.
Clap, go on. Well done.
So nice to hear, isn't it, about people's lives. It's a shame we have to wait till the end. So keep talking to one another and telling everyone what you want them to know. Thank you, Simon. One of Janet's favourite hymns, probably from school when she wasn't doing anything, I suspect, was Jerusalem. And when we were putting the service together, we had a bit of a conversation, and I suggested that there's probably very few of us that can actually do it credit. So I suggested that we had an arrangement. So I will ask Nigel if he will do his best. Thank you. Was that anyone else's school hymn? It was mine as well, yeah. Yeah, I can see some of you mouthing the words. No solos going on, thank goodness for that. So I'll ask Sam and Fran if they'll come and bring their memories. Thank you.
Hi everyone. Our memories of Janet, my godmother, and our aunt. Talking to Michael or Mike, Janet's brother, and our dad, granddad, about his childhood memories, he confirmed that what we already knew about Janet, she had a great sense of fun, a bit of a mischief maker, but would always have your back. Janet and Mike as children had a piano. Their dad could play by ear, their mum, or Nan, played classical music, and Janet was very accomplished too. Mike, by his own mission, wasn't so much. Every Saturday, their parents would go to the flicks, leaving cinema to the younger ones, leaving the children to get up to no good. They used to stick drawing pins in the hammers so it would sound tinny and play boogie-woogie. Janet playing the melody and Mike the rhythm. However, one day they had a mass scramble to remove all the pins when the Nan and Granda came home unexpectedly to say he didn't know if they never knew or not. One year there was a Christmas fancy dress competition at the cinema, and their dad dressed Janet and Mike up as the Bisto kids. But Janet was dressed as the boy and Mike as the girl, and they won. As they left the stage, Janet took off her hat, showing her long hair. The compere said, "Ah, two girls," at which point Janet, being outraged, took off Mike's hat and said, likely. Talking about hats, much to Janet's surprise, her boyfriend, Tony Rogers, decided to buy a tandem bicycle. He also bought the matching beanies. Unfortunately, Janet had never ridden a bike before. The first and only time she got in it, they only got as far as the corner of the close, about 20 yards, when they went flying. Janet, as you can imagine, was not amused, storming back home, bringing great laughter from all those who were watching. Mike recalls that possibly the relationship may have not sort of perhaps ended quite shortly afterwards. As a godmother and auntie, Janet has always been in my life and later in the lives of my daughters, Francesca and Mary Louise. She wasn't about at the very beginning as she was in Canada, but I'll let her off that. She told me stories about how she used to sit on her bump, aka Simon, laughing away together. That when they came home from hospital with Simon, I wasn't too impressed. I took one look at him and threw up the magazines and newspapers on the floor. When I did take a closer look, I kept saying, "Nice baby," while vigorously stabbing him with my fingers. When Louise came along and was just starting to walk, everyone came to stay at our house. I thought it would be a good idea to treat her like a dolly and put in my dolly's pram. Nanny King came quickly to the rescue saying, "What will Auntie Janet say?" I like to think she would have found it amusing. Throughout my adult life, Janet was a constant presence. As we all know, life is never an easy path, and she's always there for me, giving me advice and making me laugh. I owe her more than I will ever know, and I miss her chats and her infectious laugh greatly. I should have to continue her love of having a drink, or maybe four. A tough job, but someone's got to do it.
I remember staying at Auntie Janet's one time with Meg, which we convinced Auntie Janet to let us turn her living room into a den. She luckily approved and let us have a girly sleepover, treating us to pizza, whilst Meg and I turned the living room into utter chaos. Meg and I spent time trying to pick out a film to watch, and Auntie Janet had a rather huge DVD collection, which she spent about 25 minutes giving us suggestions about each one. She was trying to convince us to watch a film with the actor Richard Armitage in. If anyone knows, she had a massive crush on him. She liked to remind us about him at every given chance. Bear in mind, Meg and I were only 10 and 16 respectively. Marylise remembers well, Auntie Janet used to come and stay. One day, Janet was looking after Marylise for the day, and they were playing dressing up. Marylise took a shine to her mobile phone, thinking it was a cool toy. Unbeknownst to Janet, she went off with it and decided to take it apart. She then panicked and hid the dismembered phone under the sofa. When Mum, Dad and I got home, we found it. Marylise pretended to be asleep because she thought she would be angry, but Janet saw the funny side. We will greatly miss her random questions and sometimes really inappropriate but funny anecdotes. We will remember her for her ability to not take life too seriously and remain forever youthful.
And memories from Janet's friend of 60 years, Jenny, who's joining us on Zoom. Janet and I met at work in the 60s and stayed friends for over 60 years, sharing our love of musical theatre and visiting historical sites in both Kent and Bucks. Sadly, as age took hold, we had to keep in touch by phone calls, but happily Simon and Nina visited us with Janet last May, and we had a lovely afternoon together. Janet had a great sense of humour, and always managed to find really funny birthday cards for John. You can only but imagine, can't you? which we've still kept, and they bring back happy memories of a very special friend who is always in our thoughts. Thank you, from Jenny. She can't hear that. A bit louder. Yeah, she heard that. Thank you. And so now we'll have a time of remembering as we listen to Stevie Wonder, Ribbons in the Sky. Lovely to share memories and to reflect on the person that we knew. And so I'll ask Pauline if she'll give the reading that I shared with the family last Wednesday. Thank you, Pauline.
It's a real privilege to be able to share the reading with you today. I've only been at Hanover 7 years, but it's been a real privilege to know Janet, and we often used to get together and have tea together outside the flat, right through lockdown and through the summer. The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the title is Love is the Greatest. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God.
Wonderful memories, and it's interesting that there starts to be common themes developing, doesn't it, as each of us know Janet in our own ways. I first encountered Janet regularly sitting on the bench with her friend Sylvia outside their flats. I often used Hanover Court as a shortcut through to Elder Way or back the other way onto Rose Avenue. One thing that you could guarantee you would never get past without being spotted. I've heard it said many times, but Hanover Court has a great sense of community for those who are interested. After getting to know friends there through church and through Bible study, and then being invited to some of your wonderful social occasions in the community room, I enjoy becoming acquainted with each of you and being welcomed as you all are here. I'm sure that each of you have your own memories of Janet and those occasions, so please come through for refreshments later and continue to share. But I noticed from the photos and a few things that have been said, Bailey's made an appearance quite regularly. I soon realised that Janet and I shared a similar sense of humour, which, as you know, can be quite dangerous. I like the way you said mischievous. I like that. In her no-nonsense kind of way, she would tell me off for saying something humorous, in my opinion, but risky, whilst laughing her head off and telling me that I was being naughty. I mean, come on. Although Janet liked to say it as it was, something that I personally appreciate, she was easy to talk to and to listen to. As we've heard, she had an interest in music, musicals, and visiting places of interest. She had a caring nature, which I understood more as she shared with me, particularly in her work life. But I think my most endearing memory is when Janet had only been attending church here for a few weeks and I preached what became my I Want to Break Free sermon. Many will have long forgotten it, but Janet, as a Queen fan, did not. And for those that were here early enough, as her memory mix, that's what we've called it, isn't it? The memory mix that was scrolling through at the start of the service. It was one of the songs, perhaps the second one in on the celebration mix that we heard playing out. As I started my introduction, recounting the video that went with the song, everybody aware of the Queen video, Do I Want to Break Free? Those of you that still didn't do your research from last year, you're just all rubbish. But anyway, her eyes would widened in disbelief. She did remember it, all right. And a smile as she realised I really was going to continue my description. Obviously, there was a spiritual message there as well. Several times after that service, she would say, I couldn't believe my ears. But as I said in response, she didn't forget it, did she? A shared appreciation for the music of Queen. We discussed the film Bohemian Rhapsody at length, as also their musical back catalogue. Speaking with Yvonne C on Sunday, she remembers a lovely evening at Janet's with some of you from Hanover, watching the film and sharing hospitality together. It seemed ironic, as I was writing my memories earlier in the week, that I Want to Break Free celebrated its 40-year anniversary of its release on Tuesday, last Tuesday. I thought, must have known I was going to speak about it. Janet became a regular attender last year until her treatment and condition took its toll on her, and it was lovely to have her here. In her blunt but honest way, she would say, I don't know why I want to keep coming, but I do. I took that as a compliment. And probably with the benefit of hindsight, I'm pleased she did. I believe in God's perfect timing. We don't always understand everything that happens in life, but in faith we can place ourselves in the hands of the one who does. Whilst the video for I Want to Break Free became an anthem for one's own personal freedom, for someone who finds themselves in a situation where they feel suppressed and want to break free of their circumstances, I believe that freedom in Christ offers so much more. In addition to her family and friends, in belonging to this extended community, this family here, Janet was able to find strength and care and comfort and peace in all that she had to face in these last few months through prayer and love of her friends. Thinking again about the reading that we've just heard, and as we heard it last Wednesday, and in the Bible that I use, it's headed up the way of love. As I shared with the family, grief hurts because we know how to love. And I believe we love because God first loved us. The reason that love hurts is because that's what grief and loss is. But as we've just heard, love never fails. Love never ends. Janet loved each one of you in her own way. Her family and her friends, her community. She knew how to love others. So please take and share that love that Janet had for each one of you back to your families and friends as her memory lingers on. We may sometimes fail to love, finding it impossible to love as God does. God's perfect kind of love sets self aside over and over, endlessly, for the good of others. But when we choose to love in this selfless, sacrificing way, love will not fail to be effective in building one another up. Also, love never fails because love is eternal. Selfless love will continue in the Lord and his people forever. It is absolutely the way those who believe will live in a relationship with each other in eternity. Found a poem by M.S. Landis called Sometimes Love. Some of you may have heard it. Sometimes love can be quiet, and sometimes love can be still. But always love is patience, and it is a choice of our will. Sometimes love can be vibrant, sometimes it's not easily felt. But always love is eternal, and it is never boastful or proud. Sometimes love can be tender, then sometimes hard to express. But always love is truthful and believes in the very best. Sometimes love can be exciting, and love can sometimes be sweet. For love is always trusting and chooses never to envy. Sometimes love can be painful, then sometimes love's like a song. But always love is forgiving and keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes love can be gentle, then sometimes it's just a word. But always love protects and hopes, and love is always preserved. Love is never self-seeking and is never angered or rude. Love can never fail us, for God's love is faithful and true. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you have offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect, it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to love as you love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can choose what is best. Thank you that you equip us to face each day with the power of your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. Amen. And so we're joined together and sing of God's amazing grace, believing that it's never too late to seek the one who is seeking each one of us. Please remain standing while I just say the blessing. Go in peace. Take into your future the joy that Janet gave you. Be glad that you were part of her happiness. Know that death has not separated her from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now grace and mercy and peace from Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to listen to Golden Slumbers by the Beatles, and we're going to listen to all of it. You will not move until it's finished. And then I would invite you to join us for refreshments, just walking through those doors into the schoolroom. Thank you.
Once there was a way to get back homeward, once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Fill your eyes, smiles awake you when you rise. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back home. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby.
Say